In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear Christian friends, as we look to the closings of schools and the cancellations of sporting events, celebrations scheduled, our church even closing for a while, we look at what the heart is of all these unprecedented events and the drastic measures that have taken place. What are we truly trying to stop? What is it that we are personally afraid will happen? What is it that has so many people worrying right now? Is there really an unseen enemy out there that we can't control that is out to get us? Are the leaders of this world humbled by the reality that no army can stop it and that stockpiles of nuclear weapons cannot deter it? My friends, as we look at ourselves, are we humbled by the reality that we are not in control as much as we thought we were over our lives, as we did several weeks ago? Things we thought were going to be our greatest moments in basketball games, state tournaments, and all these other things are gone in a puff of smoke. My friends, how often we've heard from the elderly people. When I grew up, I heard it all the time. Lord, if you are willing, if you are willing. Later on, we understand and believe what the Apostle James wrote in his chapter 4, verses 13 to 15, where we hear, "Listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." Well, because a government official notices and announcements, we can't come together. We are supposed to be 6 feet apart from one another. All the things that we are used to doing as we are faced with a situation we can't control. What do we really want our leaders to protect us from, and what will happen if they fail? What are we willing to do if this thing continues, and what freedoms are we willing to give up? One thing I believe, as I consider myself as pastor and the sheep that I serve here at St. John, it just looks like there's a lot of sheep that are out there on the hills running back and forth, scattered and not knowing which direction to run. And thanks for the disinformation and the information on social media, some sheep are terrified and their own fear kills them. When you peel back all the layers of anxiety, what's at the very center of it? If I were to ask you, what are you really worried about? Are you worried about the possibility of dying? Fear of our own death? Perhaps fear of those that we love? Believers had an antidote for that. Christians have an antidote for that. We as God's people have an antidote for that. And Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Well, my friends in Christ, we know how easily things can change in our lives and in our world. My friends, we can be confident that when we talk to Jesus, we ask him, what is it about death? What does he tell us? Let us listen to the words of our Lord Jesus, who we know defeated sin, death, and Satan, because he knew each one of us was going to die because of sin. My friends, out of great love for us in John 14, Jesus gives us the words to drive out that fear. He says in John 14, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go there to prepare a place for you. And I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Well, today more people are concerned about, am I going to be the one that's going to get the coronavirus and don't even know it? They're convincing themselves that they might be among that small amount of people that might die. As a believer in Christ Jesus, how should we respond to this fear? My friends, it begins by knowing that our hope is always rooted in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's why Psalm 23, David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." God says that we are his sheep, the sheep of his pasture. Jesus knew about this virus 10 years ago, 1,000 years ago. He knew about our days on this earth. He knows how many hairs we have on our head. Nothing has ever caught God by surprise. This is not the first virus or plague to enter into the world. I'm rereading a book that I had had for many years titled Disease and History. And from the first fatal disease through Adam and Eve, the sin that entered into the world, through that particular sin, my friends, the effects of that have affected so many lives throughout history. My friends, it is not a surprise that, as we know, with our friends out there and our family, are we willing to bring up the possibility that indeed the topic of death is very important to consider, but also the great effect that our God gives us and promises in His Son. We remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 6, who says, "I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much of more great value than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life?" Do you believe that the Lord Jesus is your shepherd? Do you believe, in fact, that you are someone who truly is someone who trusts in Christ? Do you believe, as Paul writes, that all things work together for good to those that are called according to his purpose? My friends, isn't it amazing that we don't know, in fact, how strong our faith is or where it's rooted until a crisis occurs? My friends, we have chronicles throughout history of the way many people reacted. And when the Christian church was first beginning, when plagues or disease ravaged Rome and other areas of the empire, guess which people were the ones to stand up and to help others? That's right, the people who called themselves Christians. They were responsible because they took and risked their lives to help other people who were dealing with the plague, even their leaders. The Christians stayed in the city many times to take care of those that are ill. We have also recorded history during the time of Martin Luther, he and his wife Katie in the city of Wittenberg. When the Black Plague entered their city, they even took care of the people that were sick and did not leave. My friends, of course, we live with prudence, we live with confidence, we live with common sense. We obey the governing authorities and ask to do what we need to do. But my friends, how wonderful it is that by the things that are happening now, did you believe it? That Christians can actually have great opportunities to show the love of God through Jesus Christ. My friends, a professor of New Testament, the early Christian church at Notre Dame, writes, "An epidemic that seemed like the end of the world actually promoted the spread of Christianity." My friends, we believe that our Lord will take us wherever we need to go. In Psalm 23, he says, "He leads us beside still and calm waters." A place where we know that our hearts can be at peace, knowing that our God is in control and our Lord Jesus loves us so much. My friends, many of us might have to go through the valley of pain and suffering. Maybe some of us have broken dreams or unfulfilled promises. The valley of unemployment right now, homelessness, the valley of loss, the skill of a talent, the valley of death, maybe someone that we love. Those are valleys of which we have no control, and they seem to slide away from us. But my friends, those are created for us specifically for us to do His will. No matter where God places us or where He puts us, will we choose to live in fear, anxiety, or worry? My friends, how many of us are willing to be a sheep among the wolves? The Lord said, "Greater love has no one than this, than he who should lay down his life for his friends." It was Christ Jesus who laid literally down his life for you and for me, that we might not only have forgiveness, but not hopelessly be lost in time of judgment. Whatever it was, my friends, what is it that you want for your own life? Your deliverance comes from Christ, whom you trust and believe. It's why the psalmist wrote, "The rod and staff comfort him." It gives us direction. These are the way in which Christians in Hebrews chapter 11, often when they live their faith, experience pain and suffering. He writes, "Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. How many of you would choose the coronavirus over being flogged, sawn in half, or put to death by the sword for the cause of Christ? My friends, do you believe that God is in control? I believe with all my heart and faith that He is. The Apostle Paul writes, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Do you see yourself in the midst of that kind of heart today? My friends in Christ, indeed, will this be an opportunity for us to reach out to others? As a church, we are making those steps to be able to come together as leaders. We will soon have a letter going out to each one of our members indicating the plans that we have made and how we plan to communicate with you and make sure that you are fed with our Lord's word and strengthened by His Spirit. We are praying for our Christian volunteers. We are praying indeed for all those that need to work out there in our world today, especially our firefighters and our nurses and our doctors, our healthcare workers, those in emergency services, that God would also protect them and keep them, that their response and our response together would be a great boost of faith and spirit. My friends, how wonderful it is that God indeed, as He says, prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My friends in Christ, personally, as your pastor, I'm having a very difficult time with this, not because it's a coronavirus or the fears involved with it, but because I want to come in more contact with you, because I am that kind of pastor, I believe, that does not like to have his sheep scattered and worried, but that indeed we communicate and continue to comfort one another with the hope that is only found in Jesus Christ. My friends, we can still do that. We can still celebrate what God has done for us, even while this virus ravages around us. My friends in Christ, God is still on His throne. He did send His Son, Jesus Christ, to atone and pay the price for our sin, and that He sends His Holy Spirit to guide and strengthen us to keep us in this faith. My prayer for you this day and for all of us is that we do act not in fear but in faith, and that we trust our Lord as our good shepherd, who will lead us to still and calm waters, and thereby, my friends, deliver us as we work together in this venue of faith. And may God keep us and protect us in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.